tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Good morning. Great to see you guys. My name is Rob, and if I haven't had a chance to meet you, I'd love to meet you after the service. I'll be hanging out in the lobby. And before we get started, there's a few things I just want to make sure are on your radar. With Christmas, there's a lot of extra just stuff. So I know you got a lot of stuff on your radar. I know you're juggling a lot of things, but if you could just take a few moments just to soak in some things that have to do with our church. You heard about one of them. One of them is the offering that we're taking up on our Christmas Eve services. Now, just to make sure you guys get this, we don't take up offerings on Sundays. We have drop boxes back there. But what we're doing is on Christmas Eve, which will be probably the highest attendance that we have all year long, we are giving 100% of the money in this service to missions. 100%. So this is a big faith step for us as a church, because we're trusting that God's going to provide the money on the other week so that we can pay our bills and so that I can have a Merry Christmas. And we're praying that God's going to provide. But I just want to make sure that you guys are planning ahead, because if you show up without any thought, any plan, it's just going to be difficult for you, because I know you've got very tight money and you got tight budgets and you got a lot going on. But anything that you give, anything God leads you to give on that service is going to missions. We're going to give 100% of everything that we take on that day. So be thinking and praying about that. Also, if you're new to Next Level and you want to get connected, if you're looking to meet some people, if you're looking to plug in, the way to get connected is to attend the meet and greet. And we have a meet and greet once a month, and you can register for this meet and greet on your connection card, or you can also check it out on the app that we provide called YouVersion. This is a very free app, and the steps to get there are up on the screen, but there's a link in YouVersion that will help take you there. If you're a regular attender, go ahead and open up YouVersion to get ready to take some notes. If you're new, test it out, check it out. And one last thing, for our Christmas services, we are expecting around about 500 people to come. And Christmas is it's an interesting time, because lots of people decide to come to church who haven't been to church all year, or at least in a long time, and they want to come to church. But at times, the members of church are traveling or doing their thing. So they may go to family, and our area is a very heavy military area. So some of our core people who are bought in and are here all the time aren't able to be here on our Christmas Eve services. So that means there's a few holes in some key areas where we need some volunteer help. And so if Next Level is your church and you want to give back, we're needing some help just for 1 week only. If you can give 1 week to volunteer on Christmas Eve, you would volunteer 1 hour, you would go to the service another hour, or go to the service first and then volunteer the next hour. And if you can do that, if this is your church and give back, there's a clipboard up here at the front of the stage, and there's a pen, and you can sign away. There's the exact spots that we need are on this clipboard. So sign away. There's two options, the first service or the second service. Once those spots are taken, you're good to go, and we will email you and give you all the information you need to help us out. But if you're here in town and this is your church, we could use your help by filling that out. So with all that being said, we got a lot to cover. So let's dive in. I need your help with reading the text today. And if you're new to the church scene, maybe if you're just new to Next Level, this might feel a little weird to you. But I want to tell you why we do this, that we as a church are going to read our text together because we want to show it some honor. And I'm convinced that when you honor something, you get more out of it. That if you come in with the mindset that says, oh, this isn't going to be good, or I'm kind of bored, or, you know, show me what you got, you're not going to get a ton out of it. But if you come into something with some anticipation and some expectation, God can do a lot. And so we want to honor the text we're about to read. This is a text that's inspired by God, and we believe that it's not just important for people 2,000 years ago. We believe it's life-changing for us today. And so with that being said, would you stand to your feet and help me read this text loud and proud, with lots of energy, like you're on your fourth cup of coffee. Philippians 4:4-7 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now that we've read the text, I want to invite you to pray and ask God to speak to your heart. If you don't know what to say, if you're nervous to pray, if you've never prayed before, I invite you to pray a simple prayer that says, God, would you speak to my heart, and would you give me the courage to do whatever you tell me to do? Would you spend a few minutes talking to God? God, you are so good, and you are here. But God, we just need to admit that we're human, and sometimes our humanness gets the best of us. And sometimes we have a hard time thinking about you and listening to you because we're just so caught up on ourselves. And so right now, we just ask that you to remove the distractions from this room. We ask you to remove anything that would cause our minds to wander or drift, and we ask in Jesus' name that you would help our minds to focus in on you and to listen to you. And would you speak to our hearts, God? We ask that you would give us the courage to obey you no matter how hard it is. And God, I just ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I need your help as we get going this morning. I want to know what makes you happy. And I know the temptation when you get into church circles is to be super spiritual and say things that just make you look really good. But we're not trying to be super spiritual here. I want to hear the things that genuinely make you happy. I want to hear some things that just are like, when that happens to me, it puts a smile on my face. I feel excited and happy when that happens. And I want to hear from you. What are some things that make you happy? Just shout out.
Chocolate.
Food, chocolate. Texas Roadhouse, date night.
Free food.
Free food, amen to that.
Video games.
Puppies. Chipotle. Praise God. May God bless your children's children for saying Chipotle. I heard one more, someone over there. Family. Aw, that's very sweet of you. Thank you. Was that you, Levi? Aw, that was my staff member. That was so sweet. Whoever said family, family without a doubt makes us happy. But let's be honest, family also makes our lives really difficult, all right? We like the idea of family, but then actually hanging out with our family, we're like, I don't know. Well, I wanted to ask you guys what makes you happy, because I think that happiness is something that we are all pursuing. It's something that we want. It's something that we're reaching out for. A few years ago, I was at a restaurant with a friend of mine. And the waitress, when she delivered our food, my friend said, hey, we're about to pray for our food. Can I pray for you? Is there anything that you have that you'd like for me to pray for you? And she wasn't thrown off. She wasn't offended. She was actually kind of honored that someone would care enough about her to want to pray for her. And so she just paused for a few seconds. And then she said, would you pray that I would be happy? I just want to be happy. And I think that if we're honest with ourselves, that would be something that we're striving for. We want happiness. We just want happiness in our relationships. We want happiness at our jobs. We want happiness with our family. We want happiness. But isn't it true that happiness seems like it's always something that is just out of our reach? We say things like, well, if I just lose this weight and then I will be happy. And then you lose the weight and there's something else that's like, oh, well, I need that in order to be happy. Or if you're single, maybe you can relate to this. You've said to yourself, I just need to get married. Once I get married, then I'll be happy. And then you get married and you're like, This was a lot tougher than what I realized. And then if you're married, right, and you're still searching for happiness, often couples will say, well, maybe we just need a baby. Maybe a baby will make us happy. Listen, if you have some friends who are going through a rocky relationship, and they tell you they're thinking about having a baby to make them happy, please warn them not to. Like, do everything you can. Let them babysit for free for a week and talk them out of this. Having a kid does not make your life easier. It makes it more complicated. Kids are awesome. They bring lots of joy. But they are not the promise of happiness. So married couples have kids, and they're like, oh, wow, this is a lot of hard work, and this isn't making me as happy as I thought it would. So maybe it's not family, maybe it's a job, and maybe I'm not happy at my job, and so maybe I need a raise. And once we get out of debt, once we make a little bit more money, then I'll be happy. And then you make some more money, and it's like, oh, nope, I need more money. And we're constantly chasing and reaching for happiness. And happiness is something that we all want, but it's kind of like holding on to water. That you can touch it, you can grasp it, you can try to hold on to it, but it just kind of just goes through your fingers and you're left holding nothing. And so then you say to yourself, well, I just need something else. There's something else out there that I need. There's got to be some switch. There's got to be some game. There's got to be some substance. There's got to be something that I can do to give me some happiness, because every time I touch happiness, it just lasts for a few seconds. And then I feel like I'm chasing it more. And so often our happiness is dictated by our circumstances. That if our team is winning, we feel really happy. But if our team loses, our happiness is gone. If our health is great, we sometimes feel happy. If our health is not great, we've lost any chance of being happy. If the relationship, if we're hitting it out of the park, if we get what we asked for Christmas, we feel happy. But if anything goes wrong, our happiness leaves. And the vast majority of us, including myself, are on this roller coaster of emotions when it comes to happiness. That we have a few happy moments, but then we're constantly trying to get to something else to make us happy. And the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to a church in Philippi, and I'm so glad that when he wrote this letter, he didn't say that you should pursue happiness. Because happiness is an emotion, and happiness is dictated based off what has happened to you. So if everyone's treating you nice, if everything's going great, you might feel the emotion of happiness, but you can't feel happiness when your life is falling apart. And in Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, he writes to them, we're going to break down what he says, Philippians 4:4, and this is a verse that if you have kids, I hope that you're taking advantage of a homework assignment that we provide for your kids. Every kid that goes out of our ministry on Sundays gets a page that has a devotion that you can do with your kids. And every morning, I sit down with my kids and I read it. It's a little short thing. Sometimes they have to draw pictures. Sometimes they have little activities that they do. But there's a memory verse with this. And all week long, I've been memorizing with my kids Philippians 4:4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Now notice that Paul did not say, be happy. Right? Because if he said, be happy, we would be like, no, that's impossible, Paul, because my happiness is determined based off my circumstances, based off what's happening to me. But Paul doesn't say, be happy. He says, rejoice. And what does he say rejoice in? Does he say rejoice in your circumstances? No. He says, rejoice in what? The Lord. And just in case you zoned out, just in case you fell asleep, just in case you missed it, let me say it again to you, rejoice. Joy is something that is so much greater than happiness. Happiness is something that comes and goes. It's something that we're reaching for, that we want. But happiness is so often is a mindset that we have that we just think, once I have that, then I'll be happy. And most of us aren't happy in our own skin because in order to be happy, we think we have to add something else. And so Paul doesn't say, hey, you need to be happy. Paul says, you need to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. And let me say it again to you. Rejoice. Now, if Paul was writing this as like a millionaire preacher from a mansion where he had a pool and he had a yacht and he had a private plane and he had really, really white teeth that were just like shiny. If Paul was writing it from those circumstances and he wrote, rejoice in the Lord, we would say, yeah, that's easy for you to say, preacher man. Like, you're good with God, so he's blessed you, and you've got millions of dollars, and you got a yacht. My life, though, I got bills to pay. I've got issues. I've got relational strife. I've got junk going on. Like, life is hard where I live, not where you live. But is Paul writing this from his yacht? No. Where is Paul writing the letter to the church in Philippi? Just shout it out. In prison. In a Roman prison. Now, prison's bad. I don't care if you're an American prison or a Roman prison, but when I hear prison, I think about the American prison system. And that's not a place any of us like want to visit. It's not a place where we're like, oh, when I grow up, I hope I go to prison. Like, none of us want to get to prison. But when Paul is writing from a Roman prison, it is very different than the American prison in which we have in our country today. Our country is so blessed. The American prison system is actually a blessing compared to the prison that Paul was in. In Paul's day, history tells us, and some historians point out, that the prison that Paul was in was a hole in the ground, that they dug really deep down under the ground, and then they dug a cave underneath this hole. And so Paul is in an incredibly dark place where he has probably a little lantern, that if that lantern light blows out, there is no light coming in anywhere. There is no daylight. He hasn't seen the sun. He doesn't get to go out for rec time or lifting weights or playing basketball. He is in a hole in the ground, chained to a Roman prisoner. Or Roman prison guard. Now, to make matters even worse, some historians point out that the hole in the ground was often in a heavy trafficked area. And back in Paul's day, the transportation of the day was animals. So animals would go to the bathroom all around on the ground. And when it would rain, the rain would push all that refuse into the prison hole in the ground. So Paul is not writing this from a yacht. He's not writing it from a million-dollar mansion. Paul's writing it from a hole in the ground. And this hole in the ground, the reason he's in this prison is not because he's committed a crime. It is simply because he couldn't stop talking about Jesus. And in that circumstance, Paul writes, rejoice in the Lord always. Let me tell you again, rejoice. Paul is trying to download the way he lives his life to the rest of us. And he's saying, I found this secret. I found out how to do it. Despite my circumstances, I found a way to have joy. How do I have joy? Rejoice in the Lord always. Let me say it again, rejoice. You see, happiness is a fleeting emotion, but joy is a choice. And we can't choose happiness because it's determined based off our circumstances. But Paul says, no matter what your circumstances, no matter what you're going through, you can choose to have joy. You can find something to rejoice about. You can find a way in even difficult circumstances. When you're sitting in a Roman prison, you can find something to rejoice about. Paul then goes on to give us this formula for how we can do it. It's something that we can work on. But before he gives us the formula, he says you need to be careful because there's one thing that will rob you of your joy. There's one thing that will steal your joy. And look at what Paul says in Philippians 4, 6. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So Paul tells us to rejoice in the Lord. How often?
Always.
And I'll say it again to you, rejoice. And then he says, listen, guys, there's something that might rob you of your joy. There's something that might steal your joy. And the thing that will cause the most havoc in your mind is if you allow worry or you allow anxiety in your life. Because the reason that most of us are not happy is because we're worried about the things that we don't have. And we're worried about the positions that we're in. And if I could just get out of this, if I could just get a job, or why am I alone? Maybe I'm alone because there's something wrong with me. And we're worried about what we don't have, what we need, and how we look, and how we don't look, and what we need to have, and what we don't have. And we're worried about things that we cannot control. And that anxiety will cause a happy person to be miserable. This worry of that constantly is hitting us, that is plaguing us, it causes us not to be thankful about the circumstances that we're in. And guys, this is something that you have to work against. Your natural wiring, the way that you are wired in this world, is to have a negativity bias. And that is, you will take something good and you'll find fault in it. You might have a good marriage, but instead of seeing the good things, you start pointing out all the faults of your spouse. And you might have good kids, but instead of focusing on the good, you want to focus on everything bad that they do. You have a good job. If it pays you and helps pay the bills, it's a good job. And yet, what do? We find a way to complain about our jobs. There's a negativity bias inside of us. I went to lunch with a friend this week, and he was telling me about how his son goes to the same college that he went to. And he said, when I went to this college for lunch at the cafeteria, it was like a mess hall. There was an old lady with a net on her hair, and she would just plop all our food. It was in an ice cream scooper, and just plop it on the tray. And that was lunch. And we survived. We didn't know any better. He said, my son now goes to this cafeteria where they have a million different options, and they have pizza, and they have bagels, and they have waffles, and they have all these things. And he said, my son is constantly complaining about how bad the food is. And I'm like, son, you have no idea how bad it was. They're not scooping all of your food in an ice cream scoop on a tray. But isn't that what we do? We have good circumstances, and yet we find something to complain about. And Paul says that joy is a choice. Joy is not determined about where you're at. Your happiness may be, but joy, you can be sitting in a Roman prison and you can find something to be joyful about. How do you do that? You've got to resist the anxiety. And the way that you resist the anxiety is in problems, when you have issues, when your mind starts to wander, in that moment, you pray. And you thank God for your circumstances. Just for a second, just think, how different would your worry be if you actually took Paul up on this? Because the fact that you worry doesn't make you weird, it makes you human. Like, we all have our worries, we all have our concerns, but very often we don't take Paul at his word. We don't think about this verse. We don't think about how we can control it. We just say, I'm in a bad situation, let me just worry about it. But let me tell you something about worry. Worry and anxiety don't go away if you just sit still. And oftentimes, the reason that we don't enjoy our lives and we don't experience happiness is because our worry tells us, well, I just need to sit here and think about it. And I got a problem in this world, and let me just spend time thinking about it and thinking about it. Well, thinking about your problems doesn't solve anything. And anxiety doesn't go away until you say, I'm going to be thankful in this moment, and I'm going to charge towards this and take care of whatever the problem is. And the reason that we can do that is because Paul tells us that we have a God that we can find joy in the midst of very difficult circumstances. But if you don't trust that God is with you in the difficult circumstances, in the hard places, in the places you do not want to go, your anxiety will cause you to say, well, that's too hard. I can't go there. I can't have that conversation. I can't do that because it's just too stressful. It's too hard. I can't do it. And your worry and your anxiety, it causes you to not take action. Last weekend, I was at dinner with my family and my dad. My mom was sick. She wasn't able to join us. And so we were hanging out, and my dad was saying how he really wanted to get to the theaters to see the movie Hacksaw Ridge. And it's a movie that we both wanted to see, but our circumstances haven't lined up for us to see it in the theater. And my dad was saying that he was getting nervous that the movie was going to leave theaters soon, and he wasn't going to get a chance to see it. And so my wife says, why don't you guys just go tonight? I'll take care of the kids. I'll put them to bed. You guys should just go tonight. So I get on the app Fandango, and I see that there's a showing at 6:20. It's 6 o'clock at night, and so I decide, I say to my dad, do you want to go? He says, yes. And so we decide to hop in our cars and race to AMC movie theater. We get to the theater just in time to watch the movie, and we sit down. We're enjoying the film, and a couple times throughout the movie, my wife texts me. Now, I'm not there to answer texts. In fact, I think it's rude when you are on your phone through a movie. I've just paid $47 for a movie. I'm not going to waste that time on my cell phone. And so the vast majority of time, I just ignore all emails, all texts. I just ignore it. But I do check my phone just to make sure there's not an emergency. And my wife texted me about a couple of things, and I try to just really reply quickly because I respect her and want to honor her, and she's important to me. So I just try to text her quickly and get back to the movie. And I'm watching the movie, and about an hour and 45 minutes into the movie, I received the following text message. My wife says, got creeped out and locked the door to the house, to the garage. Now, some of you can read ahead. Don't read ahead. Look back up here, okay? Let me tell you something about my wife. My wife is not the type of person that gets creeped out easily. My wife's dad had a haunted house in Virginia Beach. She was raised with a dad with a haunted house. She is not someone that is scared very easily. She's someone that wants to rent and watch scary movies. And I'm like, I don't want that in my life. I don't need that in my life. But she's like, no, that's what we're going to do. And my wife, I can't think of a time in my life where my wife has expressed to me the emotion of fear. And so when I get this text that she is creeped out, I don't wait 5 minutes. I don't say I'm in a movie, let me skip this later. I immediately, like the second I get it, I text her back and I say, okay, what creeped you out? Now, my wife is the type of person that does not delay in replying. She replies right away. Her phone, I think, is glued to her hand. And so after a few minutes when I did not get a reply, I started to feel worried. And I told myself, oh, there's nothing to be worried about. She probably just went to the bathroom. So just wait a few minutes and then text her back and she'll surely text you back. So I waited a few minutes and I said, you okay? Now I'm trying to pay attention to the movie at this point, but my mind is starting to race that, like, you know, the burglars from Home Alone, I'm starting to think that they've, like, entered my house and we don't own blow torches and whatever else Kevin McAllister used to ward off the burglars. So I'm starting to think this isn't a very good situation. I'm starting to feel a little bit nervous. And so then I text my wife. I say, I'm nervous now. Please text me back. And I tell myself, do not overreact. Do not freak out. She is totally fine. She's probably just putting away dishes. She got away from her phone. And so I text her. I say, hello. I then told myself that I'm going to wait 10 minutes. And I'm not going to overreact. I'm not going to text her again. I'm going to wait 10 minutes. Because surely whatever she's doing, she will be done in 10 minutes. So I look at my phone. I time it out 10 minutes. And at the 10-minute mark, I text her again. And I say, I'm about to leave the movie early. Are you okay? And I got nothing. So I then texted her. Seriously. Just in case you were looking at this and found some humor and thought you could, like, mess with me. I'm not laughing. Seriously, will you text me, please? Give me a text back. I waited a few more minutes, and then I was trying to be polite. I said, please text me. At that point, I could not enjoy the movie anymore because I was sure either our house had burned down or that there were crooks in it. And so I tell my wife, I text her, I say, I'm leaving in 3 minutes if I don't hear from you, because I'm still trying to believe the best and I'm still trying to think that it's nothing bad. Don't give in to this anxiety. Enjoy the movie. And it was a really good movie. And we were turning the corner. We were around about, there's about 15, 20 minutes left of the movie. And I was like, if I just make it to the end, I'm sure she's okay. I'm sure she's fine. But she didn't text me back. So then I get up, I tell my dad, I said, Dad, I'm sorry, I've got to leave early. Tell me how the movie ends. Because Monica texted me, she's spooked, she doesn't get spooked. And so I left the movie theater and I walked out in the parking lot and I texted her one more time. I said, I'm leaving early, so if you're okay, text me now. I got nothing. So I literally sprinted in the AMC parking lot to my van, and I ran as hard as I could, and I got in the van. And when I got in the van, I started praying, and I said, "Dear God, I am asking that you protect Monica. Right now, I am praying that you just protect her. You protect the house. You would protect our doors, that you would give her a peace that surpasses all understanding. I'm just praying that you would protect her and help me not to get a ticket because I'm driving a little bit over the speed limit." I'm racing down Hampton Roads Center Parkway, and as I get about halfway down, it dawns on me, I'm really starting to think, she's okay. I know she's okay. But then I start to get ticked off. Because this was a really good movie, and I don't know how it ends. So I started praying in that moment. I said, "God, would you help me to show Monica grace? If she's okay, would you help me to be thankful for the fact that she's okay and not get hung up on the fact that I'm missing part of the movie?" I walked in, and our house was all bolted up, locked up like crazy. And I unlocked everything, and I walked in, and my wife had fallen asleep on the couch. When she woke up, she said, "What are you doing here?" "I thought you were about to die. Like, I literally thought that you were in serious trouble. Like, you texted me that you were spooked out, and then you didn't text me anything in." She said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I fell asleep." She was like, "Well, what are you doing here? The movie's not over." I said, "I know. I left the movie early because I was so concerned about you." My wife, at this point, please, you can fact check this story. My wife at this point, she starts apologizing left and right. She said, "I'm so sorry." And she's pausing, and I'm saying, "Babe, it's okay. It doesn't matter. I'm just thankful that you're okay." Now, why did I have to leave in the midst of that movie? Because I couldn't pay attention to the movie because I had some anxiety that was telling me that something might be up. Even though most of the things that we're anxious about never come true, until you take some action, you're not going to enjoy your life. And I was missing out on the movie because there was something in my mind that was saying, this isn't right. And you got to take care of what's not right. You got to go towards what's not right. You've got to take some action. And on your way to take some action, you choose to rejoice. God, I'm going to find some joy in this. This is scary. This is hard. I don't like this, but I'm going to choose to find something to rejoice in. I'm not rejoicing in the circumstances. I'm rejoicing in the Lord. Because the fact of the matter is, sometimes you are stuck in a Roman prison and there's poo raining down on you and there's nothing to be thankful for. There's nothing to be happy about, but God is with you. And so often we lose our happiness because we're like, well, that's a difficult circumstance. I'm walking through hell. I don't want to go through this. This hurts. This is painful. But though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because God is with us even in the midst of hell. Sometimes you're in a difficult circumstance and there is nothing to be happy about. But you can choose to find joy because God is with you in the midst of that. So sometimes you have to say, like, literally, "God, this is hell and this hurts. But I thank you that you gave me legs to walk out of this. God, this is difficult. I didn't choose to leave. They left me and my heart is broken. I don't know what to do with that. But I'm going to thank you that I still have a heart and you're going to allow me to love again. God, this is hard. I didn't want them to fire me. I thought I was doing my best. My heart is broken. I'm crying. I'm starting to feel like maybe I don't have any worth. But God, I'm going to choose to thank you that you put breath in my lungs and you're going to allow me to have another job again. God, I'm sitting in a Roman prison. It's dark. I can barely see anything. And for a few hours, I have a little lantern with a little flick of light. God, I'm going to thank you for this light. Because I'm going to write a letter to the church in Philippi that's going to encourage millions of people around the world for the next couple thousand years. My circumstances stink, but I'm going to find a way to rejoice. Rejoice in who? Not your circumstances. You rejoice in the Lord. When? Always. Let me say it again to you just in case you forgot. Rejoice. What's the enemy of your joy? It's your worry. It's your anxiety. So what do you do? How do you get out of anxiety? You take action. How do you take action? You start praying. God, I'm going to pray. I'm going to bring my worries to you. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be thankful. The antidote to unhappiness is thankfulness. And so often we're unhappy because we've just forgotten to thank God for the great things that we do have. And I know that you have some bad stuff in your life. I know you've got some junk. I know you've got some pain. But you've got some good things as well. Chasing happiness means I'll be thankful once I become happy. But joy means I'll be thankful in order to make me happy. Let me read that again to you. Chasing happiness means I'll be thankful once I become happy. Chasing happiness means once I lose weight, then I'll be happy. Once I get the job, then I'll be happy. Once I have that friend, then I'll be happy. Once I have those new clothes, then I'll be happy. But we get those things and then we're not happy. We're constantly chasing happiness. But joy means I'm going to be thankful in order to make me happy. Joy is a choice. And I'm going to choose, despite incredibly difficult circumstances, I'm going to choose to find something to be joyful about. God, this stinks. God, I'm crying. God, I can barely get the words out. But I'm going to find something to be thankful to you for. God, I thank you that you give me a brain to help figure this out. God, I thank you that you've given me friends to help me in this. God, I thank you that you've given me someone to hold me despite the fact that I can barely hold myself. God, I thank you that you go to very dark places and I'm not alone. I'm going to find something to be thankful for, and I'm going to pull myself out of this because God is with me, even if I'm writing from a prison in Rome. I'm convinced that the enemy of your and my happiness is not pain. It's actually our comfort. For so many of us, the reason we're not happy is because we think, well, I'm uncomfortable, or this is a difficult circumstance, or this is hard. But the enemy of your happiness is not pain, it's the fact that you're too comfortable. And so often our comfort tells us, well, I need to run away from anything that's hard. And so comfort says, I'm feeling a little bit of pain, let me go find a quick fix to try to take care of this. And so often when we're going through pain in life, we try to reach for happiness by drinking something out of the bottle. Or we're going through pain and we try to fix it by eating something. Anyone else relate to that? That if I could just eat this, it'll taste good. It'll fix my pain right now. But quick fixes never fix our pain. And we think, well, maybe if I just hook up with someone, I just need to be with someone. Maybe I just hook up with someone real quick. That'll ease my pain. But any quick fix is not a solution to your problems. And the enemy of your happiness is not the fact that you have some pain in your life. We all have pain. The enemy of your happiness is an addiction to being comfortable. And your comfort's leading you to find some help in temporary things. But temporary help, it's like putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound. It doesn't solve the problem. It doesn't take it away. And so if you want to find joy, it doesn't mean run away from your problems. It actually means run to them. And I know this sounds backwards. This doesn't sound like, it doesn't sound positive. It doesn't sound very, very joyful. But if you want to find joy, it actually means that at times you have to embrace your pain and run towards it. What am I talking about? Well, I'm talking about, for some of you, the reason that you're addicted to a substance is because you never dealt with the problems from your childhood. And at some point in your life, your parents, the way they treated you, or your friends, or your siblings, or the loss that you had, it led you to find some temporary happiness, and that's become an addiction, and you can't beat that addiction. And the reason you can't beat that addiction is because you're too afraid to deal with the actual problem. And this is where hard work is. Because the problem is never just an addiction, or the problem is never a substance, and the problem is never even food. It's not what we're chasing to make us happy. The problem is something that we're running away from. And for some of you, this running away means you need to sit down with a counselor and say, hey, I've had these anger issues for years, and I don't know what it is. Would you help me figure it out? Or for some of you, you might need to say, I've had these abandonment issues, and I'm so afraid to be lonely, and would you help me figure this out? I don't know what your pain is, but I can tell you that the answer to your pain is not running away from the pain. Because God is with you in the midst of your pain. And as long as you're afraid of actually dealing with what's really going on, you're never going to fix the issues inside your soul. But we find peace not when we run away from our problems. We find peace when we say, I can rejoice in the Lord even in the midst of difficult circumstances. And I'm going to walk through this valley of a shadow of a death. I'm going to walk through it because God is with me. And I'm not going to run away from the pain. I'm not going to run away from the hurt. I'm convinced that the difference between where you are and where God wants you to be is the pain you're willing to endure. The difference between where you are and where God wants you to be is the pain you are willing to endure. And for some of us, we're not willing to endure any pain, and so we're trying to find happiness by some type of substance or some quick relationship or a vacation or by spending. And what we see is that our quick fixes are just making our lives more miserable. And the food that we thought was going to make us happy just adds weight, and then we're more unhappy. And the substance that we thought was going to make us happy becomes an addiction, and then we're just more unhappy. And the money, if I could just buy that, if we just go on this vacation, if I could just spend that money, what we think will fix it ends up being debt and just adds to our unhappiness. And the answer is not quick fixes. It is actually going into the pain and saying, God, I'm going to endure this with you. I'm going to find some way to be joyful. I'm going to find some way to be thankful in the midst of difficult circumstances. Now, when we do this, Paul tells us a promise. He tells us that something will happen to us. And I want to show you what Paul says. We're going to close with this, Philippians 4, 7. Paul says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Okay, I know you're scared to deal with your pain. I know you're scared to deal with your struggle. I am too. Like, it's hard. It's hard being human. It's hard dealing with the stuff that causes us pain inside. But God is with us, and when we deal with it, when we find joy, when we choose to find joy in the midst of difficult circumstances, in the midst of difficult circumstances, we choose to present our requests to God with thanksgiving. God promises that He will guard our hearts and our minds. I don't know about you, but I would love Jesus to stand guard at my mind. That negative thought, get out of here. You're not welcome here. That anxiety, boop, be gone. But we don't get the peace of God without putting in the work of rejoicing in the midst of our circumstances. And you find a way to rejoice. And how do you rejoice? You choose to find thankfulness. You thank God for something. And as you thank God for something, as you choose to thank Him for the good things in your life, you watch your anxiety start to go down. And when your anxiety starts to go down, you experience the peace of God, which transcends all circumstances. How in the world is Paul able to write to the church in Philippi from a Roman prison and say, rejoice in the Lord always? It's because he lives this. He believes it. He's not just telling us to do something that he didn't do himself. And we so often think that joy is just if I get my way, if I have some success, but I'm convinced that joy is not the absence of pain, but the presence of God. Because the truth of the matter is your happiness leaves you when your circumstances change, but God never leaves you. And for some of you, you've been sitting in a Roman prison for a long time, and you've just been saying, why me? Why am I going through this? This is so hard. Life is miserable. And instead of focusing on what you don't have, start to focus on what you do have, and start to rejoice and say, God, thank you that you're here with me. Thank you you didn't leave me. Thank you, God, that I can talk to you and I can experience your presence no matter what. This is hard. This is difficult. I didn't sign up for this. I didn't know they were going to leave. I didn't know the economy was going to crash. I didn't sign up for this, God. I'm a good person. I want to experience some good in life. God, this stinks. God, this is hard. But God, I'm going to choose joy. And I know that in your presence, I can endure anything. So just give me more of you. Would you hold me in the midst of this difficult circumstance? Would you remind me that you got my best interests in mind? God, I thank you that even though everyone else left me, you still stood by me. God, I thank you that you don't love me based off how much money I make or what my job is or what I look like. God, you love me because I'm your kid. Thank you. I'm going to choose thankfulness. And despite your circumstances, you can find a way to rejoice in the Lord. How often? Always. Let me say it again. Rejoice. Will you pray with me? God, thank you so much for your love for us and the fact that you never leave us or forsake us. And God, for some of us, we've been living in a prison for a long time. We've been living in a prison of bitterness, a prison of hurt. God, for some of us, we've been avoiding hard conversations. We've been avoiding forgiving that person that hurt us, God, because we just don't know what to do. We would rather hold on to our hurt than to forgive and let go. And God, today, some of us just have some bitterness. We have real issues. They're real problems to us. And maybe they're not a big deal to anyone else, but to us, God, they're just our prisons. They're crushing us. And so right now, God, I just ask in Jesus' name, that you would help us to put in the hard work. That in the midst of our difficult circumstances, that we would choose to rejoice. And God, would you just give us the strength to find something to be thankful for, that we would pray, that we would chase after answers, that we would chase after solutions, that we wouldn't just sit there in our anxiety and let it to weigh us down. Would you help us to pursue you? Would you help us to know, no matter what pain we're going through right now, joy comes in the morning. God, would you just heal our broken souls? We're begging you to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. In our pain, would you heal us? Would you give us the courage to face our pain and to walk through it? Now, with your eyes closed and your heads bowed, I just want to pray for you, because I know not everyone's going through pain, but I know some of you are. And so if you've been feeling like you're in a Roman prison and you just can't catch a break, if you're feeling like life has just weighed you down, if you're feeling like God has left you, if you're feeling like life is just hurting you, if you're just struggling, would you just raise your hand so I can pray for you? All eyes are closed. I need to look around. I see your hands. You can put them down. God, right now, I just pray in Jesus' name for the hands that were raised. And I just pray, God, that you would help them to find joy. Not as an emotion, God, but as a choice, that they would choose joy. And in Jesus' name, right now, God, we are praying, we are putting into practice what you told us to do. And so in Jesus' name, I pray that you would guard their hearts and their minds. And that when doubt creeps in, when worry creeps in, when anxiety creeps in, God, you would kick it back to hell. And I'm praying in Jesus' name that you would provide some answers and some miracles and some prayers. God, you would just answer and be what we need. And I ask, God, that this week you would stir in us a desire and a heart to spend time with you, that we would find you, and we would find you, and in you there is joy. I thank you for what you're going to do in every life for every hand that was raised. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.